You are listening to an Elam Christian Center podcast. We hope that you are inspired, encouraged, and empowered by the message you are about to hear.
Evidence or fruit is the visible evidence and expression of the invisible work of God in your life. Let me say that again. Fruit is the visible evidence and expression of the invisible work that God is doing in us so that he can do it through us. And so we pick this up in Galatians 5, 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit, and for those who have done Sunday school, you can tick these off your list. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. God bless the reading of his word this morning. You know, I read a story about a young man named George. George was greatly enthusiastic about God. George had zeal for God. He had a fire and a passion for God. Nothing could stop his love for Jesus. He was out there winning souls. He was sharing the gospel. He was sharing it with anything that moved. He was bringing them to church. There was no doubt in anyone's mind that George loved Jesus. Then one day, this man named George, he went and visited a new church. Now, these people at this church started telling George about a class, a special seminar that was about to happen. And the seminar was on the armor of God. They tell him, boy, you're going to be in so much trouble if you don't know about the armor of God. The devil's going to get you. That's what they tell him. So he goes to the seminar, he sits through the classes, he buys all the resources, he gets the book, and in fact, he even gets himself a little armored man with an alarm clock in his belly, and he thinks, man, this is the armor of God. They give him a sheet of paper with all the different pieces of armor, and in fact, they tell him, don't even get up out of bed or leave home without putting on the armor of God. In fact, each piece of the armor will take you about 10 minutes to put on. So the next morning, the little armored man rings the bell in his belly, and at 6 a.m., he spends the next hour putting on the armor of God. It's now 7 o'clock, and George realizes he hasn't showered, he hasn't shaved or brushed his teeth, but boy, does he have more trouble coming his way. He's late for the next seminar, the seminar they told him on praying in the Spirit. And they tell him to go to the seminar. He buys all the resources, he gets the books, he sits through it, and they tell him, you need to wake up an hour early and pray in the Spirit every day. Next morning, the little armored man rings 5 a.m. He prays in the Spirit. 6 a.m. He puts on the armor. 7 a.m. He realizes he hasn't shaved, showered, or brushed his teeth. But boy, has he got bigger troubles. He's late for another seminar. He goes to the seminar on Bible study. He buys all the resources that they tell him to get. They tell him, you need to read 40 chapters a day in an hour or the devil's going to get you. The next morning, the little armored man rings 4 a.m. He skims 40 chapters. 5 a.m., he prays in the Spirit. 6 a.m., he puts on the armor of God. 7 a.m., he realizes he hasn't shaved, showered, or brushed his teeth. But that's the least of his problems. Now he's late for another seminar. And this seminar is on territorial spirits. They tell him, in order to be effective for God, you must go to the library, pick up books on your area, study your area. And while he was doing that, he realized there were pirates involved in settling there. Now, pirate spirits inhabit the region that George is a part of, and he needs to do warfare, they tell him, for about an hour a day in the morning. The next morning, the little armed man rings 3 a.m. He wakes up, chases away the pirates. 4 a.m., he skims 40 chapters. 5 a.m., he prays in the Spirit. 6 a.m., he puts on the armor. 7 a.m., he realizes he hasn't showered, shaved, brushed his teeth. But that's the least of his worries. Because on top of all of this, he woke up to the sound of Ghostbusters playing in his head. He realizes that the pirates are waiting outside for him. He feels oppressed. He's tired. He has no time left in his day. But the worst of all is that he's lost his love for Jesus. You need to know today that the enemy will come in and try to bind you with rituals, do's and don'ts, and formulas that mean absolutely nothing, to rob you of your faith and your love for Jesus. And maybe you're here this morning and saying, but I thought the armor of God is important. Of course it's important. But once you put it on, don't take it off. Who told you to put it on, take it off, and get ready in the morning? But I thought praying in the Spirit was important. Intercession was important. Of course they're important. But it doesn't take an hour to do that. You need to develop a daily habit of prayer in your life, where in every moment you're in union with Jesus Christ himself. See, here's the truth. The trash still needs to be taken out. The kids still need to get to school. The meals still need to be prepped. And I want to encourage you today, don't overcomplicate the finished work of Jesus on the cross. See, Jesus said himself, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. But isn't that the trap that the 21st century model of church falls into? This consumerism mindset where I have to do more, be more, get more, do all of this thing more. And in fact, this is the same trouble that Paul saw in the churches in Galatia that he then goes to address. See, what was happening in the churches of Galatia was that there were false teachers that were teaching on the practice of circumcision, and they were saying that circumcision was a sacrifice of blood that enabled believers to live in a way that pleased God. In their view, Christians had to add circumcision to Christ's saving work. Paul knew that their thinking had stripped away Christ's death and its true meaning and salvation and value. So he said in Galatians 5:2, if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. In addition to them denying the sufficiency of Christ's final work and saving work on the cross, the false teachers in Galatia challenged the gospel by teaching that believers must rely on the flesh in order to complete their salvation. But Paul again addresses this in Galatians 3:3, where he says, are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, you're now trying to attain goal by human effort? Now hear my heart this morning, not to negate or to absolve you of any responsibility or stewardship in your faith to keep your fire burning for Jesus. That's not what I'm saying this morning, because your faith should ultimately produce good works in your life. But what I'm rather saying to you this morning is, friend, your works didn't save you, Jesus did. Your efforts couldn't give you life, Jesus did. Your ambitions, your aspirations and dreams couldn't bring you freedom. It was Jesus who did. Jesus, who was lifted up on a cross, took the penalty of sin and death, was died, was buried, and on the third day he rose again. That's grace. That's the undeserved favor of God to us extended today. See, can I remind you today, friend, Jesus didn't die for you to have a religion with him. Jesus died so that you would have a relationship. See, while religion tells us that we need to do in order to get to God, Jesus said, I did it so that you could be in the very presence of God. See, I'm here to remind somebody today, friend, you aren't a human doing, you're a human being. In fact, the title of my message this morning is this, and let me prophesy this over us as a church. Hear me today. Stop doing more, start doing less. Let me say that again. All of us lazy boned people in the room said, yes, amen. All of us Marthas in the room were like, oh, can't do that. Stop doing more, start doing less. See, because fruit was never a product of your doing. Fruit was always a product of our being in union or being in relationship with God himself. See, point number one this morning, I want to encourage every single one of us, stay connected to the vine. Everyone say, stay connected. There it is. It becomes more of a conversation now. It's good. See, it would be easy for us to look at a series like this on the fruit of the Spirit and for us as preachers to be like, you know, you got to do more at loving. You got to do more at self-control. You got to do more at producing these works in your life. And now, not to dismiss those practical thoughts or doings, because often those things give us an idea where it's not at operation in our life. But I want to encourage you today that these doings should always press you back into being in relationship with Jesus himself. I love this, John chapter 15, verse 1 to 4. I'm the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. See, like an astronaut, we know the picture of the astronaut out in outer space who's connected to the space station, and through this little connection point, he receives oxygen. Just like a mother and a child or a baby's connected by the umbilical cord, and through that cord and that connection, it receives its nutrients and its life source. Can I encourage you today, church? Don't get away from the life source. Stay connected to the vine. Receive the life that Jesus has for you today. See, here's the truth. We need to stay connected to Jesus. And in fact, let me tell you today, the quality of your relationship with Jesus will always determine the quality of the fruit that you produce. Can I say that again? The quality of your relationship with Jesus will always determine the quality of the fruit that you produce. In fact, don't we know this principle to be true for our marriages? If my marriage is strong and healthy, then the overflow or the result that I produce is healthy parenting. Healthy parenting produces healthy kids. Healthy kids produce healthy schools. Healthy schools produce happy teachers. And in fact, for every husband in the room, how many people know this statement is true? Happy wife, happy? There it is. And all the ladies said, amen. See, this principle is true. The quality of your relationship with Jesus will always determine the quality of the fruit that you produce. You and I this morning, we must remain. must abide and stay connected to Jesus. And here's the truth. As his life flows into yours, we grow, we mature, we are transformed, and the product is we'll produce good fruit. Stay connected to the vine. Secondly, this morning, I want to encourage you today to surrender to the Spirit. See, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to 22, Paul says this. He says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And then carrying on, it says this, now the works of the flesh are evident. These are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. To which I tell you, as I've told you beforehand, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. I love how Paul continues in this verse. He says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 24 to 26, but you people of God, those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, not becoming conceited, provoking one another, or envying one another. See, if ever, friend, you've found yourself swept up in the motions of doing, if you've ever found yourself this morning siding with the things of the flesh, if you've ever found yourself inserting your name in one of those things that the Bible tells us is the fleshly work and desire of the heart, my encouragement to you this morning is this. Turn back to the finished work of Jesus on the cross and walk again by the Spirit of the living God. See, you will win against the flesh only when you're willing to surrender to the Spirit of God. How do we surrender to the Spirit this morning? Great question. Glad you're asking the great questions this morning. See, walk in the Spirit is the Greek word peripateo, and peripateo basically means walk. But there's deeper frameworks given to that word. See, what peripateo means is it means staying in step with, staying on the path of, staying in line with. Friend, I want to tell you today that how we surrender to the Spirit is by staying in step with the Spirit of God. How do we do that, you ask? Well, friend, have you ever found yourself waking up in the middle of the night or waking up from a fresh night's sleep and you wake up with a worship song playing in your head? Have you ever found yourself throughout your day with an impression on your heart or a burden of the thing which you need to pray in? Have you ever found yourself thinking of a person that you need to reach out to and encourage? Can I encourage you today to lean into that, for that's the Holy Spirit surrendering, and we need to surrender to walking in step with what He's doing in our life. See, stay surrendered to the Holy Spirit. A life surrendered to the Holy Spirit is a life which overflows. See, let the Holy Spirit minister love into your heart so that as He fills your heart, it begins to overflow in all that you do. That's the product of fruit. If He ministers those things to our heart, we'll be overflowing to then invest that into the places that we go or the spaces that we occupy. Let the Holy Spirit correct you, conform you, confront you on some of the issues in your life, that your life would overflow with self-control, gentleness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, with basically good fruit. See, surrender to the Holy Spirit. Stay connected to the vine. Surrender to the Holy Spirit. And number three, if the keys could join me, is this. Starts with love. Starts with the fruit of love. Now, some of you are saying that is a grammatically incorrect sentence. And it is, because I was going to call it the first fruit is love, but it didn't quite fit the SSS that I was going for. So here we go. Grammatically incorrect sentence this morning starts with the fruit of love. You know, Martin Luther, the great Reformed thinker, he said, it would have been enough to mention only the fruit of love, for love embraces all the fruits of the Spirit. In fact, many biblical thinkers or academics or biblical scholars believe that the eight fruits that follow on from love are just an expression of what love looks like outworked. In fact, the Passion Translation paraphrases this. Now, don't scorn me for a moment this morning, but it paraphrases this and it gives us a great explanation or an outworking of that concept in design. It says this in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23 in the Passion Translation. But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you, again, that's the fruit. Within you is divine love in all its varied expressions. See, love expresses itself in these ways. Joy which overflows, peace which subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. Again, let me repeat the words of Martin Luther. It would have been enough to only mention the fruit of love, for love embraces all the fruits of the Spirit. You know, the word that is used here for the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, that word love is not like any other word that's used in the Bible. You've got words like eros and phileo, which are intimacy and friendship. This word that the Bible uses for the fruit that is produced, which is love, is agape. Now, agape is this, it's more than the expression of the heart. It's more than a feeling of the heart. It's the willful action to choose to love the undeserving. Agape is this, agape is love in action. Agape is the choice to be kind to those who aren't kind to us. Agape is the choice to sacrifice. Agape is the choice to consider another's needs above our own. Agape is the love we extend to our enemies. Agape is the love expressed in keeping God's commands. Agape, friend, is the same love that Jesus demonstrated that while you and I were still sinners, Christ died at the right time to extend to us love, to his life. See, agape, this love, is a love which is expressed in joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness and action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, the strength and strength of the Spirit. Now, as I go through that list, many of you are thinking, oh, I don't display that in my life. Well, friend, can I tell you, you can't go to the fruit and try to tidy up the fruit. You can't give the fruit a bit of plastic surgery. No, you've got to go back to the root. And the root is a surrender to the Spirit. You know, understand that love is a contradiction of the flesh. This agape, this willful action, is opposed to the actions that your flesh wants to take. See, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lewdness are counterfeits of love amongst God's people. Idolatry and sorcery, they're counterfeits of our love for God. Hatred, contention, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, and murder. Can you see today that those are all opposite expressions of what it looks like to love? Drunkenness and revelries are all sad attempts to fill the void which only Jesus, through his agape love, could ever fill. Understand today that it starts with love. See, here's the foundation as we continue through the work or through the series of this good fruit. Here's the foundation that I want us to get into our heart before we get into the practicals and the doings. Here's the foundation I want to lay for every single one of us today is as we continue to point back to these things called the good fruit. Friend, I want to challenge you to stay connected to the vine, surrender to the Holy Spirit, and start with the fruit of love. Understand today, church, that fruit was never a product of your doing. It was always a product of you being. So my friends, stop doing more, start doing less. Just be in relationship with God. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. Come on, one more time, just as we've got our eyes closed and our heads bowed. Maybe as I've said some of those things, you're seeing areas in your life where you're not displaying some of those fruits. And again, if anything, I want to land this message on a message where we surrender again. See, it's not about you doing more. It's about you being in relationship with Jesus and walking in step with the Holy Spirit. So maybe God's highlighted something for you. Friend, why don't you just take a moment in your own way to just surrender that again at the foot of the cross and be empowered by the Holy Spirit to walk again. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, I thank you for every single area that you've highlighted in our life. Jesus, help us to remember and to be reminded today that we don't need to do more, but God, we just need to surrender it. God, how we win the war against the flesh is by willingly surrendering again to the Spirit of God. So right now, Holy Spirit, I pray, Lord, that you would fill your people afresh. God, in those areas where they've just surrendered that to you, God, I pray that you'd fill them afresh in those spaces. Lord, I pray that as a church, we would be filled to overflowing. Lord, let our lives be a reflection of your heart to this community. Jesus, I pray, fresh wind just come and breathe on your people, I pray. In Jesus' name, still with every head bowed and every eye closed. You know, this morning I want to tell you that none of this is possible if you're not connected to the vine. If you're not connected to Jesus himself, if your life is not surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus, here's the truth. You were created on purpose for a purpose. You were created today for life and life in abundance. You were created to have relationship with God. But the reason we don't experience these things is because of this word called sin. Sin is this. It's to miss the mark. It's to choose our fleshly ways above God's ways. In fact, the Bible says that the penalty of that sin is death. You and I, friend, were dead in our sins. But God, our gracious Heavenly Father, He didn't want to leave us in that place. So He sent His Son, who knew no sin, to become sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. His sacrifice today means that you can have forgiveness of your past, hope of eternity with Him, and a new life today. But it starts by putting your trust in Him, by connecting yourself to the vine. So in a moment, I'm going to count down from three. And if that's you this morning, if you're saying, Kaylin, I want to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want to give my life to Him. I want to be connected to the vine today. All you need to do is just lift your hand, give me a nice wave. I'm going to count down from three. So here we go. Three, God loves you. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Two, He's standing at the door of your heart saying, would you let me in? One, if that's you this morning, would you mind lifting your hand nice and high so I can see it? Awesome. God bless you. Hands going up across the room. Amen. Very cool. You can pop your hand down. What we're going to do now, we're going to pray a prayer. This prayer doesn't save you. Jesus saves you, but this prayer is about putting your expressed faith in Jesus Christ. So church, we're going to repeat this after me. Why don't we say this together? Everyone say, dear Lord Jesus, I confess I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Today, I turn from sin and turn to You. I make You the Lord of my life. Thanks to You, today's a new day, and I'm set free in Jesus' name. Come on, church, can we celebrate and put our hands together for every single person who's just said yes to Jesus? Welcome home, friend.
Thank you for listening to this Elam Christian Center podcast. Please subscribe to keep hearing more life-changing messages. For more information about our church, please visit www.elamchristiancenter.org.nz.